7.
Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the second hour of the Corlin Economics Report, weekend edition. It's Jeff Dice, as always. I'm talking with Big Al, and we're pleased to continue to be joined by Peter Grandich, who is known for his Grandich letter, and you can find him at Grandich.com, G-R-A-N-D-I-C-H.com, where he also blogs. You know, Peter, Al was talking about some of the discrepancies we've seen anecdotally in the physical gold and silver markets the last couple of weeks, and one of those we've seen in terms of the commenters on the Corlin Economics Report is that sort of little strip mall places that say, we buy gold, and sometimes they have the guy out front with the big arrow sign. Some of them reportedly have stopped buying gold. But the flip side of that in terms of anecdotal evidence is that people are having problems buying junk silver, even in fairly large quantities, from their local dealers. So, you know, it really kind of makes no sense right now.
Well, let me throw something in here. Friday afternoon, I decided I was going to buy some more silver. I put it out on the blog that I was going to buy some. One of our more avid readers, I believe it was CFS, said, good luck in trying to buy that. Well, I told him I'd report back as to the kind of luck I had. And I'll tell you, I went to three places. And I don't want to give any names necessarily, but they are all large retailers, okay? One in Canada and then two in the United States. The one I went to in the United States said, you know, we're happy to help you, but we can't do anything. This was at 2:30 in the afternoon, West Coast time. They're in the same time zone. They said, we're happy to help you, but we can't do anything for you until Monday. It's just been a crazy week, okay? Another large supplier, not in the United States, that I contacted to buy silver, they had silver rounds for sale. They had silver coins for sale, and I believe they had some bars. The premiums were astronomical, absolutely astronomical. I then went to Hard Asset Advisory, and at that point, I opened up an account, and I was able to not place an order, but I'll be able to place an order there on Monday, okay? It's not like simply going on the internet and saying, I want to buy coin, I want to buy rounds, I want to buy bullion. It ain't that easy right now. My experience. Jeff, you had another topic that I thought was really interesting. We got about 7 minutes. Pete can talk about that a little bit here. I find it to be a fascinating topic, and I agree with Peter's principles 1,000%.
Well, we like to talk about underlying philosophy, and we like to talk about underlying principles as they apply to investment decisions on this site. So I would like to ask Peter how he goes about applying his Christian perspective and some of his Christian philosophy and beliefs to investment.
Well, it's interesting because it really began 12 years ago after spending half my life on Wall Street in a secular mode. And immediately I found about a third to half the doors closed. In fact, the original firm that I was working for, when I decided to go the Christian route, said, you can put a rock, you can put a bull on the door, but you can't put God's picture on the door. And so I found in that regard it was difficult to tie Christian faith in with money management. But what's real interesting, and this is perhaps the single best point I can put out, I always like to say this to people. I say, you know, people like to tell you, look, I went to a great restaurant, you should go there, I've seen a great movie, I read a good book. You know, they say there's an estimate 100 to 200 books written a year about how to handle finances, and they last about 2-3 years on the shelf, and then there's more. So over the last several decades, there's literally been thousands of books written about finances. But none of them have been the absolute answer, including my own, because if they were, we all would have been handed them. They've come and they've gone. But one book has managed to stay around a couple thousand years, and what's real interesting about it, even from a secular viewpoint, the author or authors, real or fake or whatever, were the makers of the Bible, talk about matters of money and principles related to money and possessions more than just about any other topic. So, you know, I tell people you don't have to read the Bible to find God, but if you really want to find a book that's been extremely helpful and accurate about matters of money and things you're going to face, read the Bible. And what's most interesting in that, in the entire Bible, there's not one supporting verse about debt. And really, when we look and talk about all the problems that you guys talked about in the past weeks and months, and we'll, for the rest of this year and next, much of it's going to be centered on the problems that country and people have gotten by getting into debt. And yet the authors or authors of the book that's been certainly read the most and lasted the longest are so anti-debt. So it's a very fascinating thing. And even in the secular world, even if not to look at it from a religious standpoint, just to understand and appreciate it, how accurate they were to the problems that debt leads to.
Yeah, it is pretty interesting. You know, I have often made the comment that life would be so simple. We wouldn't have the political problems that we have. We wouldn't have the crony capitalism, what I like to call predatory capitalism. We wouldn't have any of that if the principles in both the Old Testament and the New Testament weren't just followed. You know, it seems so simple. I don't know. God gave us free will, and so we can do whatever we want, whether to me, it makes no sense, you guys. What do you think about that, Joe?
Well, Peter, I would like to hear your views on whether you believe that capitalism and markets are compatible with biblical beliefs and biblical views. Because a lot of people on the left sort of make the claim that, you know, Christ would be considered a socialist today and that he was against wealth and greed, for lack of a better description.
Well, the religion has at points taken it too far. I'm against what's commonly known as Christian prosperity and, you know, and all that type of stuff. But I will tell you this. If you look at the success of the United States, it was really in its first 200 years, and a little bit before that, really in the 1970s, we started to start to go downhill. Well, what were we then that we aren't now? Well, one of the things we were back then, we were the biggest creditor nation in the world.
Yeah.
And so when we were not allowing debt to impact our lives and having public storage, look, I always like to joke, how did our parents and grandparents manage without public storage facilities? In small little homes and not 5,000 square foot homes because they didn't need that much stuff. So I don't think it's so much about all or none. I just think that we've gone to excesses and we've gone to those excesses that Jesus and others and in the Old Testament spoke about, that if you allow that to be, then unfortunately human nature takes hold and then you have all the problems that one of the reasons I think why we have so many problems we have now, because we moved away from those principles that used to guide us.
Well, I think it's really interesting. You know, Jeff, I know you're a real constitutionalist, and I know your former boss is, you know, the king of the constitutionalists, for lack of better terms. I mean, you know, I learned more about the Constitution from Congressman Paul and Judge Napolitano and yourself, quite frankly. And I realized really how important a document that actually is. I mean, to say it's an important document is almost an understatement, for lack of better terms. But, you know, I gotta tell you, we are going so far away from those principles. I'm not really sure how any liberal can say, you know, well, Jesus was a liberal and we follow him, so you need to follow us. I mean, boy, I gotta tell you, the framers of our country, the folks who put the Constitution together, you know, they didn't fit into that category at all.
I think what's really interesting is also is that it worked for a long time after they were gone. So it wasn't just something that worked when they were around, but it really worked for a very long time. They were able to foresee that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is because they were blessed with that understanding. It's the same thing with biblical principles. If you realize how people lived back then versus they live now, you couldn't begin to comprehend from a technology standpoint the things that you can do now. Yet those principles that historians at least tell us were in books almost 2,000 years ago or more, they pretty much still hold water today. So, you know, whoever, you know, the authors or authors were, real or made up, certainly had an ability to foresee things. And again, centered around the very problems that we have, and that is we just have too much stuff and too much debt.
I agree 100%. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get a copy of Peter's book, Confessions of a Wall Street Whiz Kid, click on the banner. It's available in PDF form. Stick around. Jeff and I are going to be right back.
Oh. Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
The coming financial collapse is real. The subsequent social unrest will happen. Even if you made it out of suburbia alive, where would you take your family? Act now to secure your survival retreat in the American Redoubt with the experts at SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. The American Redoubt is the designated safe haven for all liberty-minded patriots relocating to Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. Get eyes, ears, and boots on the ground. Get professional, confidential, discreet advice. Get SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. Call 208-627-2855. Save time, money, and stress while you secure your ultimate survival retreat property now, before it's too late. Water, energy, food, defense. SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com. SurvivalRetreatConsulting.com.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. You know, you have to admit, Peter Grandich is a very, very interesting guy. He really is. He's a very principled individual. I'm proud to call him a friend, and I would suggest that you think about picking up his book on PDF form. It really, really is a good book. Okay, here's another really good guy, Grant Williams. The only thing I don't like about Grant particularly, he's always kicks my ass on the golf course. I'm not even close to being anywhere near the golfer that this guy is. Jeff, that would probably make you depressed also, wouldn't it? Absolutely. Grant is a newsletter writer, money manager out of Singapore. You're involved with John Malden and Malden Economics, which, if I'm not mistaken, is now owned by Casey Research. So you got all of the big guns around you, for lack of better terms. Grant, here's where I want to start. The market absolutely, the gold market absolutely, along with the silver market, went in the toilet a week ago Friday. Some people say the market's the market. It is what it is. I don't think so. I think there was something behind it of a very much a human nature. What do you think, bud?
Hey, Al, good to be with you. Yeah, the gold market is renowned for having all kinds of conspiracy theories or always kind of sort of whirling around it. And last week's given us, you know, some more to play with. But at the end of the day, here's what we're left with. You know, we saw an incredible fall in the gold price. And here's something that I think everybody needs to get their head around, and that's the difference between the gold price and the price of gold. And that's it's semantics maybe, but it's two very, very different things. When people talk about the gold price, what they're talking about is the spot futures price on the COMEX exchange. And that's what saw a huge fall last Friday and then into Monday. You know, the price of gold is what you have to pay to get an ounce of physical gold in your hands. And that's a whole different thing. We can talk about that in a minute. But on that Friday, you know, we saw $28 billion worth of gold futures contracts go through the market in no time at all. In another one of these waterfall declines that we're getting all too used to seeing now in the gold futures market. And look, no matter what anybody says, it was not someone looking to maximize the profit they made on a sale. Now, people are going to call central bank intervention. People are going to call bullion bank intervention. It could be a combination of the two. Certainly the amount of money that was worth tends to point towards someone like a central bank, because $28 billion is a big ticket for anybody to write. But the simple truth is the market fell. It went through, once it got going, it went through a whole bunch of technical stops that were right around where the gold price was trading at the time. And it didn't stop, and it didn't stop for, you know, about 15%. But I think what's important to understand is that this is momentum, and momentum goes in both directions. Now we saw the gold price fall, you know, $200 over the 2 days, and I think the Monday after the Friday fall, we had margin calls over the weekend, we had liquidation, we had capitulation on the Monday, and that kind of explains where this went. Now, if it was a big short sale looking to squeeze people out of the market and pick gold up a lot cheaper, you know what, they maybe had some success at doing that, but...
But you don't think that was the case?
Well, I that was certainly part of it, Al. I think there were definitely shorts going off. I think with the amount of computer traders in all these markets now, and gold has attracted a lot of them because it has been moving around, you know, there will definitely be computer stops going off, and that's just something we have to deal with in this day and age. But this is a paper contract over a physical commodity, and no matter what happens in that COMEX price, it doesn't really affect too much the price of gold, physical gold in the underlying market, certainly not in the short term. And that's something that we saw this week in some, I mean, truly extraordinary scenes. And I think what's happened is going to prove to be very, very important, and people need to really understand what happened this week in the paper versus physical markets.
Well, let's talk about
what I mean by what I mean by that is that, so on Monday when the futures price fell again, I called a whole bunch of my buddies all around Asia, and I asked them to go and check out the local gold bullion dealers for me. And so I had guys in Mumbai, Macau, Hong Kong, Bangkok, Sydney, and I actually went myself to the bullion dealer here in Singapore. And what I got told was absolutely remarkable. I think I forgot to mention Hong Kong and Beijing and Shanghai. Was absolutely remarkable. So Beijing, Shanghai were sold out of gold. You couldn't get any. Macau, they had to call police to deal with traffic problems because there were so many people outside the store. Bangkok, I've got photographs that people sent me of, you know, people inside the gold store, 10 deep, just clamoring. You know, in all these places, Mumbai, same thing. In Sydney, of all places, there was a queue at the bullion dealers that essentially went out the door, and the guy in the store said they were doing, you know, a month's worth of business that day. And so everywhere you look around the world, there were people clamoring to buy physical gold. And that's very important, and this is something I'm writing about this weekend, because any crash, any collapse that I can remember in my 30 years in this business, what happens is at the end of that collapse, at the end of that crash, or certainly at the height of it, the public, you know, the for want of a better term, the little man in the street, always, always panic and sell. It happened in the NASDAQ bust. It happened in the 87 crash. It happens in all these things. And here we have a so-called crash, a so-called collapse, and the public were running. And literally, the guy at the Perth Mint said when they opened the gate to the Perth Mint on Monday morning, the queue of people outside ran across the courtyard to get in and get their place in the queue. This is not what happens in a crash. And I think this is a very, very important thing to understand. This is, it feels to me like a tipping point. I don't know what's happening for sure, but I sense the sand is shifting somewhere here. And to see retail investors running to buy something that's just fallen 20% never, ever happens. So something is going on here, Al, and I don't know how, when we find out what it is, maybe it's gradual, maybe it's a sudden thing, but this is different. This is not your average crash, not your average collapse.
You know, Grant, that's interesting. If you were to ask one of those retail individuals, you know, at the bullion dealer in Singapore or in Perth, what they were doing waiting in line all day with their tote bag full of cash, and why they were buying gold even as the commodities price, the spot price, was declining so rapidly. What do you think they would say?
I mean, I spoke to some of them. You know, I went here to the bullion deal in Singapore. This being Singapore, it was far more calm, far more orderly. I didn't go there until Thursday. But the lady in the store said that, you know, they've been doing about four times the normal amount of business.
Wow.
And it started on Saturday once people woke up to a low gold price. And what it tells you is, I mean, it's different here in Asia. I think we have to draw a distinction between the buying of physical gold in Asia and the buying of physical gold by the retail in the West. In Asia, it's in the DNA. It's something that people understand from generation to generation. You own gold. Indians buy gold. Indians never sell gold. They buy gold jewelry for wedding seasons. They buy gold for their kids when they graduate. Same with Chinese. So it's a whole different thing.
It is a whole different thing, you know, and what we're gonna get into that here in the next segment. We've got to take a real quick break, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be right back with Grant.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Amazon.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Since disaster can strike at any time, you always need to be prepared. And not just with an insurance policy. Superstorm Sandy left thousands of people starving and stranded for weeks. You need to be prepared with an emergency supply of food. Now through April 30th, save up to 25% on freeze-dried food. During the freeze-dry Guy Mix and Match number 10 can sale. Freeze-dried food packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans. With over 99% of the oxygen removed, it has the longest shelf life of any food available. Over 25 years. Choose from entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts. All made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. And a taste absolutely delicious. Free shipping to 48 states. Now through April 30th, save up to 25%. Visit freezedryguy.com. freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Act today. Don't miss out.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables, and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Cortland Economics Report. Jeff Deist with you, as always, talking with Big Al, and we are continuing our conversation with Grant Williams from Valpez, live from Singapore Saturday morning, I believe, his time. Grant, you were making a very interesting comment about sort of the Asian and Indian mindset as opposed to the Western mindset, and you mentioned that in Chinese culture and in Indian culture, people buy gold, but they don't sell it. So could you elaborate on that?
In this part of the world, you grow up around gold. It's something that people all over Asia have held in the family as a store of wealth for many, many generations. And so if you're a kid who grows up and is used to seeing gold handed over to relatives at important occasions, your graduations, birthdays, christenings, that kind of thing, weddings. The idea of owning gold and the need for gold is understood from a very, very young age. It's instinctive. And so it doesn't surprise me in Asia, I mean, to see people go out and buy gold when the price falls. That makes sense to me. Certainly, I was surprised about the numbers of people that are doing it and just this massive rush to try and get gold. You know, friends of mine were in a queue for 2 hours at the bank in Hong Kong this week. But what's been interesting this week is for that to happen in Western countries. It happened in Sydney. It happened in Zurich, of all places. A friend of mine in Switzerland called to tell me that the gold window at UBS in Bahnhofstrasse, they were out of the store, out of the door, and up the street. And in the end, they had to walk down and take people's names and start a waiting list for gold. And these are Western countries where, you know, retail investors are not traditionally massive buyers of gold, particularly when on weakness. So I suspect we will look back on this week at some point in the future, we'll look back on this week as a very important thing, a very important time when something fundamental shifted. And if this was massive manipulation, then we may look back on it as the week that that manipulation broke for good, because the difference between paper and physical became evident. If it was just a drastic sell-off, then I think we'll look back on this as the bottom of this leg. And in the wider context, who knows what it represents, but something has definitely changed this week.
You know, I have to tell you, I went out yesterday, Friday, and tried to buy some silver, and I didn't go out, so to speak, as we live way out in the boonies. You can't just drive someplace from where we live and you know, place an order. So I basically used my telephone and the internet, and I wasn't able to buy any silver on Friday. I started at 2:30 Friday afternoon, West Coast time, West Coast of the U.S., okay? And I called a retailer, couldn't do anything for me until Monday, would not quote me a price. Large international firm outside the U.S., their premiums, Grant, were so high, I wasn't willing to pay them at this point. You know, and I ended up going to Casey's deal, which is hard asset advisory, and I'll have to buy it for, not have to, but I'll buy it from them on Monday. But I couldn't buy anything on Friday afternoon, guys.
There were 18 to 20% premiums in Hong Kong on silver coins. When I went to the bullion dealer in Singapore, managed to get a price that was essentially spot, which was great, on a 100-gram piece of gold. But the Maple Leafs they had in store were trading at a 20% premium.
Oh, easily. The Maple Leafs, the American Eagles, easily a 20% premium, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, as I say, the Eastern buying fine, the Western buying strange. I mean, the U.S. Mint apparently sold, what, 63,000 gold coins in that one day. I mean, there's some really, really interesting things going on, and it's all to do with this split between the paper price and the physical price.
Grant, what do you think all this schizophrenia in the physical markets might mean, either short-term or long-term, for the mining stock sector?
Well, look, never has there been a more beaten-down, unloved sector. I mean, never. It's amazing to look at. I suspect it'll be a scare and a wake-up call. It may, if the gold price stayed down here, it may impact some of them in terms of profitability and viability. If the gold price rebounds quickly, I suspect it will be a wake-up call of a good kind for them that will tell them that, you know, gold price could go low. We need to manage our costs very carefully and keep our cash costs and our all-in costs as low as we possibly can. And it may spark some mergers and acquisition activity. It's hard to say. But at some point, I think the shift in trend in the gold price is what's important for the miners. We've had an unstable price that's kind of felt like it was trending lower, and that's pushed the mining stocks down. A lot of that, again, is momentum. A lot of it is computer trading, I'm sure. But if we get a general sense that the price has bottomed and, more importantly, is starting a new uptrend, and it's going to trend higher. And by that, I just mean it's going to move consistently higher rather than sort of vacillating around a certain level. If we get that, then I think then the miners will start to get looked at seriously. And if you take a serious look at the mining stocks, they are so cheap now. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, as much as gold went on sale on Friday and Monday, these things have been on sale for 6 months and getting cheaper and cheaper. And the gold mining stock, you know, I keep saying it's the only store in the world where you put a 20% sale sign up and people run out screaming into the street. It won't last forever. If people get comfortable that the gold price is going to go higher over time, they will look at these stocks and they'll almost be forced to buy them. They'll be so cheap.
But, Grant, you know how the Western financial press views this. They characterize this as, see, gold is just another commodity, and it was just another commodity stuck in a bubble. And now we've gone over the edge, and we're on the downside of that bubble. And, you know, and it's going to get worse because people are coming back into the traditional equities markets.
Well, look, sometimes you just read this stuff and scratch your head. For the most part, it just, I mean, it literally makes me laugh, some of this stuff. And you have to kind of look at it and just, you know, shake your head. I mean, look, gold, if gold was a bubble, that had burst, as a lot of these people are saying. I guarantee you, when in the crash of 87, retail investors were not queuing 10 deep outside their brokerage to get in and buy stocks. That's for sure. When the NASDAQ bubble burst, they were not trying to buy, Alcatel and Lucent and all these stocks that went to zero. They weren't trying to do that. One thing I think I'm pretty safe in saying is that gold, A, was not a bubble, and B, it's absolutely not now done and going, forever lower over time. The fundamental picture surrounding gold has never been stronger. Through this whole run, to my book, the only reason people are starting to, at the margin, question it is based on comments from the Fed about a potential exit from QE, maybe in the second half of this year. There is no way they can do that. Forget it.
It's absolutely
not going to happen. They just are not in the position to be able to do that. And you've got Japan doubling their monetary base, which is an absurd proposition to do in 18 months, but they are insistent they're going to do it. You've got Mark Carney coming in as governor of the Bank of England, who has outright said that he thinks the UK needs a lot more stimulus. We're not going to see that happen. So ignore what the Fed say, period. It makes no difference. From a technical point of view, gold, the gold charts looked a bit shaky, and some of this fall in the COMEX price addressed that and will shake people out. The market structure's okay. And then you get down to this ridiculous comment about Cyprus selling their gold being another reason for the sell-off last week. Cyprus had 400 million euros of gold they were talking about selling. That's 2% of the volume on a daily basis on the LBMA. It makes no difference. Now, if you want to extrapolate that and say, we're not worried about Cyprus, we're worried that that might spread to Portugal, it might spread to Italy, and they've got a lot of gold. Italy said when the subject was suggested they sell their gold last year, no way. There's no way we're going to sell our gold. Portugal, 92% of their reserves are held in gold. It's the largest percentage of gold held in the world. They're not about to sell their gold. These countries will leave the euro before they sell their only remaining real asset.
And that's a very good point, I got to tell you. Got to take another real quick break, ladies and gentlemen. Stick around. We're going to be right back to wrap this up.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. Amino acids have to be delivered to your body in the shape that nature gave them if they are to be used to create new proteins in your body. Just like a bricklayer cannot use bent or twisted bricks to build a brick wall, so too your body cannot use bent or twisted amino acids to build new proteins. Giving your body an undamaged amino acid food can make a huge difference in your health. One World Way is an undamaged amino acid food unlike any other. You see, heating bends and twists amino acids, and all whey protein powders we've investigated, and most proteins you consume, are heated. With our True Cool process, you now have a choice with One World Way.
My name is Daniel. I'm 34 years old. When I started using One World Whey, I weighed 228 pounds. Now, after 2.5 months, I weigh 182 pounds. This is my ideal weight. I've noticed an increase in stamina, rate of recovery from workouts, and an increase in my potency.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com.
Virtually anyone could be tracking you right now through your cell phone. The fact is, anyone can track your calls, your texts, emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal.
That's the new warning from the American Civil Liberties Union. It's just released the results of an investigation that found law enforcement agencies across the country track personal cell phones on a regular basis as a form of surveillance.
That's why you need Block It Pocket. Block It Pocket is a standard or custom designed cloth pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for any mobile device. With Block It Pocket, all incoming and outgoing signals are blocked, including harmful radiation, and your device cannot be hacked or tracked by anyone. Handmade in the USA, Block It Pocket costs less than $30 and ships free to the lower 48. Call 888-315-9618 or click Block It Pocket, spelled BLOCKITPOCKET.com. Block It Pocket, enhancing health and privacy.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free. A 24-day supply of food plus stove, cookpot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply. Be in control. Be self-sufficient and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of world wide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Quillen Economics Report. It's Jeff Dice with Big Al as always, and we are continuing our conversation with Grant Williams. Grant, you know, Al was just making a point offline about what he sees as sort of a very changing fundamental difference in America. In other words, the paradigm's changing from a nation of thrift and savings to a nation of sort of despondent spendthrifts who are overly reliant on government and entitlement programs and are not inherently the savers and the thrifty, hardworking folks that our grandparents who lived through the Depression might have been. Do you have any comments on that, and do you feel sort of a new day rising in Singapore by contrast?
Well, I think that change has happened over the last generation in the States. And it's not just the States. I mean, I saw it in Britain too. It's very much a Western film, and yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, this debt-fueled binge that everybody went on when they didn't have to make money, they could just borrow money, and that obviously is going to make you lazy, and it's going to make you think that money does grow on trees, which was certainly the feeling as we got sort of halfway through that last decade there. Asia's different. Singapore is a phenomenal place. I mean, it's a model country because it's a country that's run like a business. And it's run like a well-run business. And so, you know, what we see here is government getting out of the way. We have a low tax structure, very low tax structure. Yes, there are a whole bunch of rules here in Singapore, but they're not intrusive rules. Some people consider petty, but what we have is a society where these are the rules. You follow them, we'll stay out of your way. You cross the line, you're going to be in trouble. And that's really all everybody needs, because if you don't agree with some of the laws, don't live in the country. If you agree with the laws, you're a law-abiding citizen. This is a place that encourages business. It makes it very easy to start a business, makes it very easy to run a business. And that's really something that is happening and has happened right the way across Asia. And the two halves of the globe are very much at different points in the cycle, and the West has had its moment of ascendancy, and it does certainly feel like it's on the wane, whereas the rise of Asia is ongoing and will continue to be so for the next generation, that's for sure. I don't know that the US, for example, is done, because it's the one country, I think, in the world that if it gets its act together, if it decides and realizes what's going on and says, hey, you know what, we're going to fix this, they'll absolutely fix it. I despair for the UK. I despair for places like France. I think, that their day is done. I suspect the US has the mindset and the willingness to fix it. They just, at the moment, seem to be stuck in this torpor.
I don't know, Grant. I'll tell you, maybe I'm just getting to be an old curmudgeon. I don't know. But I have to say, I don't really see that desire happening in the United States right now. I mean, among people in my demographic, both from an age standpoint, from an economic standpoint, et cetera, sure, that's the case. There's no question about it. But boy, I don't know. I look at the current administration. I look at where we're going. I just don't see that happening. Jeff, you spent 12 years on the Hill. Do you see it happening, bud?
No. The solutions to our problems in America surely are not political, and they won't come out of Washington. I guess my fear would be that, as Grant talks about this sort of shift of power, at least 20th century power, from west to east, the one difference between sort of the fall of the American empire and the fall of other empires is we still have this gigantic military. We still have all this power. And I'm just not certain that the powers that be in America will sort of willingly submit to a gradual decline when there will be this temptation to try to sort of bully the rest of the world with either the reality or the threat of military action to maintain our status as the world reserve currency, to continue forcing OPEC to price oil in dollars, to try to maintain, an America that can no longer be maintained because there's not the underlying economy, there's not the underlying economic engine to drive the whole thing.
Well, a country where you've been spending a fair amount of time, but you just got back from Turkey, Turkey, if I'm not mistaken, along with some of the other folks back there, they're not buying oil from Iran, for example, and paying for it in U.S. dollars. That changed a while ago.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there are certainly Iran opening an oil bourse or wanting to, and price oil in euro is something that led to some U.S. saber rattling. And so I think that monopoly on pricing oil in dollars is breaking up, and there's starting to be daylight with that, certainly. But Turkey's an interesting country. It's certainly not Singapore, but it's had 8 or 9% growth in GDP for several years running. It's tripled its GDP in about a decade. It has a very vibrant merchant class, not a welfare state mentality at all. Obviously, there are portions of the country that have extreme poverty and are very rural, not modern. You might call them second world. But as far as the eastern half of the country, particularly Ankara and Istanbul, there's an economy that I really think is fantastic. It's dynamic. It's actually very fortunate that their 25-year campaign to join the euro has not come to fruit.
Oh, yeah.
Now they're not on the hook for all the ECB debt that's been created and the mess we're seeing in Portugal and Greece. But, Grant, I wonder if Turkey might be a halfway point of sorts between the U.S. and Asia, not only geographically, but also in terms of, the seesaw where their economy is turning over into something that's, was moribund, but is now dynamic.
Well, I mean, it's kind of fitting, right? You stand on one side of the Bosphorus and you're in Europe, and you stand on the other side of it and you're in Asia. And so it literally does span the two continents. And yeah, it looked very much so. It has that Eastern mentality, very much. I don't think, anyone looking at Turkey would think of them as European in nature. They would think of them, as far more Eastern, maybe not quite Asian, but they definitely, they're at the same place in the cycle, and they certainly still have that work ethic. And the point you made about the social safety net is an important one. Here in Singapore, essentially there is very little social safety net, and that goes for right the way across Asia. In Asia, if you fall upon hard times, it's the duty of your family to take care of you, and it is a duty. If that's what happens. If you're a 30 something who loses his job, you move back in with your parents, and your parents take care of you, and that's seen as a duty. At the very, very lowest levels, if someone has no family and they're out in the street, then the government will provide you with a roof over your head and three meals a day. But I think, based on the conditions there and the quality of the food, you're going to be out looking for a job fairly quickly. And it works. They haven't fallen into that trap of offering offering and promising all these social safety nets and promising to fund them forever. Now, there's no guarantee that they won't follow the cycle of other parts of the world in times gone by and start with their increasing wealth setting such things up. We don't know. But, you know, it's certainly the root of many, many evils in the West. These unfunded liabilities are crippling governments right the way across the West. And in Asia, it really is not a problem at all from that standpoint.
Not a problem in Asia because philosophically, folks over there in your part of the world are very, very different from folks over here. And the only comment that I can make about that is it's not a particularly astute comment, but it's the way I feel, and that is it's really, really sad, in my humble opinion. Grant, we got about 2 minutes left here. Real quick, what are you telling your people to do?
Well, all week I've been telling people to buy gold while it's on sale. You know, it's a 20% off sale while stocks last, and stocks are not going to last very long, that's for sure. We've seen gold back above 1400 by the end of the week, and I suspect if it was a failed short squeeze, these guys will have to cover, and the price could go materially higher, even if it just kind of bumps around here for a while. It felt like gold kind of had to go to 1300 bucks to clear out a lot of weak holders, and if that's going to happen, hey, getting it done in 2 days is way, way better for everybody's mindset and mentality than it taking, you know, a few months to grind its way lower and just kind of depress everybody.
So you're telling people to buy physical then?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Physical gold and, you know, well-run mining companies to me, they're just screaming buys down here.
I think they are screaming buys. I don't know how many of our listeners would agree with that, particularly some of the more active members of our family who write comments every single day to Jeff and I. I don't know. You know, I think the majority of them are getting a little bit shaky, for lack of better terms. I would hope not, because I agree 100% with you. I think there are some buys out there, whether you're talking about physical or whether you're talking about the companies. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed the show this week. It's been fun putting it together.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses 3 groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.